Hi, I'm Timon McPherson. I'm an assistant professor of urban ecology here at the New School, and I'm co-presenting with Philip Silva, who's a colleague on the project we're calling STEM. And also, there's a number of reasons why it's kind of nice to follow Mary Miss's talk. One of the reasons is because we're sharing a collaborator, which is Liz Berry as well, who also works on our project with us. So there's going to be some obvious overlaps just because of Liz. So we're going to try to talk quickly, and I have this habit of talking very quickly, so you just pay attention. My goal is to set up a problem and to allow Phil to propose the STEM project, which we think is a potential solution to the problem. So my work as an urban ecologist is, as you might expect, on urban ecosystems. And what I want to talk about a little bit, and I'm going to preface this by saying I'm going to show you some science, some results of science. I'm a scientist, so I'm going to show you some data. I hope everybody's in the mood for that a little bit. And then I have to figure out how to skip forward this.
Right arrow.
Right arrow's not working. Okay, I'll use that one. So, some things you may know, right? Urbanization is expanding very rapidly across the U.S., and this is creating some issues for us to be concerned about. This is not doing what I want it to do.
You have to click pause.
I think if you don't select the slideshow and just go through the slides instead.
Well, we could do that.
Start again and pause.
Thank you. Pause. Play. Pause. Next.
You have to use the other computer.
Okay, thank you. No, that's not working. Sorry for the technical difficulty. One moment.
Sometimes if you get the thumbnail view and you go back, it fixes something.
I don't know. Well, someone yell at me if I'm not looking at the screen, it starts forwarding automatically very quickly, okay? So I just wanted to point out that there's this rapid urban expansion that's happening, and cities like New York are obviously not immune, and we're expecting another million people to be in New York City by 2030, which is coming up very, very quickly. And that's posing some problems. One is we have this goal of making New York greener, more sustainable, but there's a number of pressures on the city. The increased population pressure is one. The other is this other fact that's illustrated by the shades of blue and red in the two maps, which is that the expansion of the land area in terms of the amount of land that urban areas are taking up is expanding much more rapidly than the actual population growth. And the population growth already is kind of amazing, given that 70% of all humans are going to live in the city around the world by 2050. That kind of number is, I don't think we've let that sink into our consciousness yet, what it means that the average human is an urban human, and what it means that the average human's experience of nature is an urban nature. So the goals with thinking about how do we want our urban nature to be, and what kinds of functions and experiences and services do we want the urban ecosystem or urban green infrastructure to have. Certainly, this is going to plague me in some way. The arrows aren't working. I know everyone thinks they should, but we'll just do it this way. So you'll have a sense of what's coming up next. Certainly, Plan YC is an attempt, and Mary Miss mentioned this. It's one of the major attempts that New York has for trying to figure out how to make New York City ready for the next million people, but also how to make it more sustainable, and sustainable from a number of different perspectives. Million Trees is probably the most visible part of that project, and for those of you who've somehow missed the amazing ad machine that is the Million Trees, it's on subways and buses. The goal here is to plant a million trees in New York City. The Forest Service is, the Million Trees goal, if you don't know this, actually came out of two major studies, both of them done by the U.S. Forest Service, and One of them was calculating how much canopy could New York have, since we have some major goals about what we think trees could be doing in cities. Well, we have about 24% of the land area covered with trees in terms of canopy cover right now. It seems like we could get that number up to about 30%. It's fairly ambitious, but if you do the math, that's about 1 million trees. 1 million is kind of a sexy number, so we go with 1 million even. And this is the sort of distribution of what we think that 30% canopy cover might look like if we, you know, succeed in planting 1 million trees while caring for the rest of them at the same time. But why would we do that? What's the real point here? Well, the point is that trees are environmental cleanup machines. They have this potential, and I say potential because it's not always realized, to absorb a lot of stormwater, to suck up carbon, to absorb pollution, for example. So in the 5 million trees that we currently have in the city, they currently store about well over 1 million tons of carbon, and they're taking in another 43,000 tons of carbon every year. They take in about 2,000 tons of air pollution. And so we think, though this is currently being studied by different scientists and collaborators, we think that's going to have direct health benefits if we can increase that functioning component of the trees, and if we can increase the number of trees doing that function, like lowering asthma rates, say, in the Bronx, for example, which would be one of the goals of the Many Trees campaign. They also avoid carbon emissions by reducing the amount of energy that buildings need to use in order to cool them by having the direct shading benefit of trees. So again, there are these machines, we sort of use them in this way in the city as these functional elements to provide a lot of benefits for New Yorkers. I'm going to show you two slides like this, a little more data, and then I'll stop. One is looking at what we have right now. So we have 5 million trees. This map here, on the left side are young trees, and on the right side are old trees. This is just looking at the diameter of trees. And so you can see it's 1 to 3 inches, 4 to 6 inches, et cetera. This is kind of interesting. Our forest is very young. About 60% of our trees are less than 10 inches in diameter. So I'm sure you've seen lots of big trees, but that's not what our forest really looks like at the large scale. It's a lot of young trees. We're going to add 1 million more young trees, all very, very small, in terms of their age structure. If we look at one of the functions we're interested in, say carbon, for example, just to pick one out of a hat, you notice most of the function is performed by older, larger trees. So if we want trees to solve a lot of these environmental problems, we're trying to make New York more sustainable, and we want trees as one of our major sort of silver bullets to provide that kind of benefit, we need old trees, not young trees. So the question is, how do we get there? And this is probably the simplest equation you'll ever see. It's just two addition symbols and a subtraction symbol. But if we have this canopy goal of 30%, and we have an existing canopy of 5 million trees, and we're going to plant another 1 million trees, we're going to have to take care of all of those trees, and then we're going to have to account for all the mortality that happens on a regular basis. And one thing we have learned so far is that young trees die very rapidly because, well, New York City is a very tough place to be a tree. It's highly acidic, very compacted soils, highly saline, very hot, trees dry in the drought in the summer. Basically, it's a really tough place to be a tree. Trees don't really like being in a sidewalk with a very confined root space, and so a lot of them die. A lot of us have thought about this. My collaborators have thought a lot about this in terms of, how do we solve this problem? We want trees to do a lot for us, and yet they have this tough place to live. The Forest Service did a pretty interesting analysis, an in-depth analysis of this. Again, another Forest Service study. And what they said, and I'm quoting here, is that the most efficient way to have a highly functioning forest is to protect them and provide good maintenance. Yes, we need to plant them. Yes, they need to have natural regeneration. But that's the number one project that we need to solve. And that's where STEM comes in. And I'm going to hand this over to Phil in just a second, except to say that we've come around this issue by all recognizing these sorts of facts to say that we've got to figure out how to stewardship the trees. If trees is one intersection, one sort of node in the way in which we can make a more sustainable New York City, then figuring out how to link up environmental stewardship and grow environmental stewardship with trees as a focal point is, you know, one of these potential solutions. And I'm going to let Phil tell you how we think we might be able to solve this.
Thanks, Timon. I'm kind of disappointed that we don't have the music playing, because I learned to take care of trees in Newark and in the South Bronx, and that's like the soundtrack to taking care of street trees. It was perfect. And this is like hacker presentation. This is awesome. Let's see. Okay, so you know, we've sort of set this up as people need to be the ones taking care of trees. That the government is likely never to have the sufficient resources to take care of all the trees in the urban environment, particularly if you layer another million on top. So it's really up to us as citizen stewards, volunteers, to care for that. So we start asking ourselves through our work, through our engagement with citizen stewards and citizens ourselves, what do folks need in order to more effectively manage their work, manage their volunteer work in the urban environment? And we identified three sort of core traits in a tool that individuals would need. The first is that folks would need to be able to track their activities, their stewardship activities, to better manage what they do in the future. I need to know what I've done already in order to make better decisions about what I'm going to do tomorrow. Second, folks need to see the work that other stewards have already accomplished. So not only do I need to know what I've done, it would really help if I knew what my neighbors did already too, so that we're not focusing all of our efforts on trees that are really plush and really well taken care of, while maybe just a block away there are a whole line of trees that suffer from neglect. And lastly, we need to be able to connect with one another, with other volunteers, in order to sort of grow our collaborations. This really is an instance where the sum is greater, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. When you bring people together, they start to think about far more aggressive and ambitious projects than they would if they were just one person or two. So we need a tool that not only allows people to see what they've done, they need to be able to see what other people have done, and they need to be able to connect with other people. And this is the closest there is out there right now to getting anywhere near this. So when I worked at Sustainable South Bronx, the folks, we had two full-time stewards who were actually paid to care for the trees in the Hunts Point neighborhood. And they were also engaging individuals, neighbors, senior citizens, children in schools to do the same. And the most sophisticated tool we had at our disposal were hand-drawn maps, photocopies of like Hagstrom maps, road maps, printouts from Google Maps, and marble notebooks. And as you can imagine, it was difficult to track what we had done, impossible to share what we had done amongst people in the neighborhood. And this was worthless in terms of connecting people. So not to get into too many particulars, what we're trying to develop is a web-based open access map that would have points for each tree in the city that are clickable and allow one to upload information about activities that they've done to steward the tree, anything from watering it to pruning a dead branch to cultivating the soil, so that you can, as an individual, track what you've done, let other people know what you've done, and then through that sort of safe, abstract platform in the way that we're all used to now, connect with other people and sort of say, hey, I didn't know that Tree Geek 101 was also in my neighborhood. Let me shoot him or her a message and see if they might want to get coffee. All right, maybe not. That's fine. We don't have to do that. But it offers a sort of somewhat abstract platform, because sometimes we might not choose to engage one another in that way. It's sort of part of being a New Yorker. But it makes visible in a very concrete way where people are doing work and how to connect with them. So part of that, though, for us, is that we have to find where these trees are in space. The data that exists right now is not as refined as we would like it to be. So in order to do that, we literally have to work to go out into the field. GPS doesn't really work for us because of some difficulties with working in areas with high buildings. I had instances where I had trees showing up in Long Island Sound when I mapped them with GPS. So we really want robust, fine-grained data. So we sort of put together a kit of really inexpensive tools, and we made a little cheat sheet of methods for going out into the urban environment and starting to measure. And this is where the intersection between what we're trying to work on and what Island has been trying to support, I think, starts to happen. These are people moving through the urban environment, and they're doing it in a public way. And it often becomes spectacle. People stop to watch and ask what you're doing. They ask if you're with the city. They ask if you're going to chop down their tree, if you're going to plant a new tree. They'll gawk. They'll ask how they can do the same thing. And there are movements and gestures associated with this mapping, which didn't come out too clearly there, but we'll skip that. And here's a better one. So we've worked with folks in the job training program at Sustainable South Bronx, who themselves are expert street tree identifiers and stewards, to start mapping that urban environment. As you can see, folks are moving through the sidewalk. They're using gestures associated with rolling a tape measure, with wrapping a tape around the trunk of a tree, and on and on and on. There are these distinct gestures that start to build up that we hope to sort of find a way to I wouldn't say exaggerate, but pull out and honor in a way that starts to engage a completely different audience from the folks that we normally talk to. And from there, not only do we want stewards who are mapping through the urban environment, but also then stewards who are consciously, in an embodied way, moving through the urban environment. This is my friend Eva Senyura from Castro Street in Hunts Point. She's like the mayor of Castro Street. She goes out and yells at her neighbors to take care of their street trees. And these are her stewardship tools. She's got her watering bucket, and she keeps a pruner in that plastic bag. But she's also consciously moving through the urban environment. How can we work with Eva for her to think of herself as a performer in that? How can that translate into a more engaged and more robust method of doing not only the stewardship mapping, but also the stewardship work? I just do want to take a moment to call out all the wonderful partners that we have in this work. It's really a labor of love for so many, and OpenGeo, who you see pointed out here, is helping us in developing the armature, the platform for serving up that data about those locations in a way that makes sense and is really open and accessible. So that's all we've got. Thank you.